Blog Talk Radio.
What a mighty God we serve. He is yet alive, and he knows your name. Don't you worry. He knows your social security number, your address, and everything concerning you. You don't have to worry. He is still in control. He orders your steps. He said the steps of a good person are ordered by you. So don't worry. He's ordering your steps. Know your name, your address, your location. Even when you get in your vehicle to go somewhere, he always with you. He's going before you. He's going with you and behind you. Don't you worry. You are never alone. Never alone. Guess what? Father God said he knows your thoughts are far off. We can't hide nothing from him. Nothing secret from him. He's a mighty God, an awesome God. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We welcome you to Wednesday Midweek Bible Study. Can you believe it? August 17, 2022. What an amazing day it is. This is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing. We are glad about it. Oh, my God. The God of heaven, the God who knows everything about us. Yep, this is his day, the day that he made. And we are so grateful that he made this day. We are thanking him. Yep, we are thanking him every day. So, Father God, we just come to thank you today for your grace and mercy, for your goodness, for your love. We are so grateful that you are the King of Kings, the Almighty Father. You are the Lord that loves us with all your heart. You are the one that commanded us back to love you with all of our heart, soul, and strength. And you said, now look here, don't you lie. I don't lie. You got to be more like me, holy like me. I don't lie. So I'm saying, if you love me more, you say you love me? Mm-mm, you never seen me. How can you say you don't love him or her, or you do love him or her, and you say you love me? You not even seen me. You got to embrace the ones you see every day, the ones you see, the ones you know. Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my father? That's what we got to embrace. The one who do the will of God. That's the one. Yes. We got to love everybody like we love ourselves. So you know we got some work to do. Spots on your garment, God said he'll get them off. Yep. Surrender all to him. Surrender everything to him. He knows what you need. But we got to come to him and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to forgive us for every error, every transgression, everything, every presumptuous sin. Forgive us, Lord, for those things that we do against your will. We're asking you to cleanse our heart, make our heart pure. You said only the pure in heart will see you. So, Lord, we need to see you. We want to see you. We're looking forward to seeing you. And we know that when we drop the flesh suit, Father God, we're going to be standing right in your presence. So when we stand before you, you know what we want to hear, but we have to live it down here. And Lord, I thank you that you didn't put us here to leave us alone, that we are led by you daily. We don't know the way, but we know that you know the way. So we are leading. We are being led by you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Oh, we can't make it without your Holy Spirit. You said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm not going to just leave the earth and leave you alone. I'm going to leave you a comforter, one that can lead you in a plain path, one that can keep you. But you got to surrender. So, Lord, help us to surrender all to you. The song says, all to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. So, you know, we got to surrender everything to him. Everything. I don't mean hold back this and hold back that. No, we got to surrender everything to him. We can't hold back anything. We try to hold it back. He don't know it. He knows everything. God knows everything. There's nothing Father God does not know. When I tell you, he said, he knew you before he formed you in your mother's belly. So he still know you. He has lost your name. He knows your name. He know everything about you. You got a mole on your face, a mole on your back. He know that too. You got a birthmark here and one there. He knows that too. Nothing, nothing that he doesn't know. There's not one thing he doesn't know. So we are serving the Most High God. We're praising him today. And you know his word is so great. I'm grateful that he left the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, for us to read and get instructions, written instructions now. But he also give you verbal instructions. But if you don't hear him, you better get in that secret place and say, Lord, I need to hear your voice clear. Lord, I need to hear you. Today, August the 17th, 2022, I need to hear your voice today, Lord God. I need to hear you clearer today than ever before. And you know, his word in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26 says, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to anyone who pleases him. That's all we got to do is please him. You don't know how to please him? Ask him, Lord, what can I do to please you this day? But to the person who continues to sin, he gives the job of gathering and collecting wealth. The sinner must turn his wealth over to the person who pleases God. Even this is pointless. It's like trying to catch the wind. And you already know we cannot catch the wind. We can't even see it. How can we catch it? It's not like a butterfly. You know when children try to catch the butterfly? It landed on the tree or somewhere close, maybe on a little bush or on a land real close to us. You know, we could catch those things. We used to catch grasshoppers when I was young. But, you know, we can catch those, but we can't catch the wind. We can't even see it. We can only catch those things we can see. And sometimes we can't even catch those things. So we thank God for ordering our steps today. You know he orders our steps. We got to depend on him. What would we do if he didn't order our steps? We don't know what to do. Anointing, lead and guide us every day. He is the way maker that we need. You know he makes a way. You know when you thought you didn't have this or you didn't have that and you didn't know how you were going to get it, he made the way for us. And the way, he's not trying to hide the way from you. He's trying to bring us in the way so we can receive from him. So don't get mixed up. We bind the spirit of confusion. When you get in his way, his word, and you know, Psalms 96 says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Day after day, announce that the Lord saves his people. Tell people about his glory. Tell all the nations his miracles. And he gives us miracles every day. The Lord is great. He should be highly praised. He should be feared more than all the other gods because all the gods of the nations are idols. The Lord made the heavens. The Lord that we serve, he's the one who made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are in his presence. Strength and beauty are in his holy place. Give to the Lord, you families of the nations. Give to the Lord glory and power. God, give to the Lord the glory he deserves. And he deserves all the glory. He deserves all the honor. He deserves all the praise. You know he know your name. He knows everything concerning you. So let's be about our Father's business on a daily basis. I thank God for each of you all coming on. As I said earlier, today is Wednesday, August 17, 2022. Isn't he amazing? This is the day he made. Yes, he did. Oh, yeah, we can't go into a day he didn't make because he made this day. And we thank God that he's in this day. So let's glorify him, praise him with songs. We have Minister Lanny McBride on with us from Jackson, Mississippi. She's going to sing a song of praise unto the Lord. We thank God for her. Good afternoon, Minister Lanny. How are you?
I'm fine, Sister G and fellow classmates. Amen.
Break a cathedral, large or small. You may be skyscraper, grand and tall. You may conquer all the failures of your past, but you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Christ will last. Only one will last. Only one for him will be counted at the end. Yeah. Only one. You may seek earthly power and fame, the world might be impressed by your presence. Soon the glory of his life will all be all become only what you cry will ask. Only what you do for Christ will ask. Only what you do for Christ will ask. It's only what you do for Christ will all they want to do,
Amen, amen. Only what we do for Christ for less. Everything else has been done in vain. Only what we do for Christ will last. Thank God. Thank you so much, Minister Lanny. Beautiful song. Oh, my God. Only what we do for Christ will last. We thank God for that song. We have Sister Mary Nichols on with us from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Good afternoon. Sister Mary, how are you?
I am blessed. I'm happy to be here.
Amen.
I love that last song. Whoa.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Only what we do for Christ will last. And Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something about that name. I thank God for each of you coming on with us today. I'm going to ask Sister Bella if she will pray for the world leaders today.
Hallelujah. Good afternoon, everyone. Lord, we just thank
Good
you,
afternoon.
Lord. We thank you, God. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We just thank you. We thank you for another day, Lord, for this is the day you made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's on this line, oh God, on the radio, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. Lord, we come together. You say where two or three are gathered in your name, you in the midst, Lord. We come touching and agree for our world leaders, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, that you will give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, oh God, on how to conduct the business of the world, oh God, how to bring about peace all over the world, Lord. So we're praying for peace and unity all over the world, Lord, that the wars will stop, oh God, the wars will cease, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that you'll protect your people, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Keep them safe from danger, seen and unseen. And, Lord, just walk with the leaders, oh God, all over the world. Let them make the decisions not on based on politics or party lines, oh God, but concerning the people, oh God. In the name of Jesus, the people that elected them to be the heads of the country, oh God. So bless them, oh God. Walk with them, talk with them, bless their families, Lord, and just bring about unity, that perfect peace that passes all understanding. As they seek ye first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, the things that they desire might be added unto them, and that they will make the right decisions for the United States and all over the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Bella. Awesome prayer. Thank God for you. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Sister Marion Williams if she would pray for the elderly. And would you include Mother Fanny and Mother Ludell and all the elderly?
Okay. Heavenly Father, I come to you today, Lord God, on the strength of my own right now, Lord God, to give you praise because you're worthy of the praise right now, Lord God. I bring all the elderly before you right now, Lord God, Sister Fanny and the other ladies right now, Lord God, before you. God, they need your strength. They need your power right now in the name of Jesus. Strengthen them where they're weak, Lord God. Build them up where they're torn down right now, Lord God. Bless those that's in the nursing home and in the hospitals, those that are at home that can't do for themselves right now, Lord God. I pray and ask them, hedge of protection over them. Cover them right now with your blood, Lord God. I pray and ask right now, Lord God, to strengthen them right now in their old age right now, Lord God. Give the people that are taking care of them patience right now to take care of them right now, Lord God, and to look after them and not to abuse them right now, Lord God. I pray for protection over all the elderly right now, Lord God. Some people pry on the elderly right now, Lord God. I'm putting a hedge of protection around them right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Help them right now, Lord God. They've lived a good life right now, Lord God, in you right now, Lord God. And I pray and ask a special anointing over them right now, Lord God, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Protect them when they go out right now, Lord God, and protect them when they come back home right now, Lord God. Protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger right now, Lord God, enemy and disease right now, Lord God. Lord, I thank you right now, and I praise you right now. I give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Marion. I appreciate that prayer. Awesome, powerful prayers and songs. We appreciate each of you. Thank God for you and for your family. Well, got your Bibles ready. Hope you got your Bibles ready. Get them out, get them out, get them out. You know, you need that word of God. It does. So today, let's see. We know how we do it, scripture search. I will read the verse, and you find the scripture. Tell us where it's found. So here we go. First one, find it. State your name and read it. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Where is that scripture found? And then read it. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. State your name and tell us where it's found. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. I'll give you a clue. It's in the Old Testament. Okay.
It's, in Psalms 34:18. And I'm going to read it for you. Okay, and it says here, I'm reading out the New Living Translation, if that's okay, unless you want me to go to
fine.
King James. Okay. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and save such as of a contrite spirit.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. I appreciate it. All right. Thank God for that one. Next scripture, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Where is that scripture found? State your name and read it. Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Where is that scripture found? It's in the Old Testament. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. State your name and read it. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord thy our God.
This
Where
is
that scripture
Bella.
Found?
Sister
okay.
Bella, Jeremiah 3:22.
Excellent.
And I'm going to read the New Living Translation. It says, Jeremiah 3:22, My wayward children, says the Lord, come back to me, and I will heal your wayward hearts.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's Jeremiah 3:22. Excellent. All right. Thank you, Sister Bella. All right. Come on, you guys. Don't let her do all the work. Y'all got to do some work, too. All right. The next scripture. It's in the Old Testament again. And rend your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And rend your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Where's that scripture found?
Mary.
Okay.
Joel chapter 2, verse 13. Rend your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity.
Amen. Thank you so much. Awesome. Okay, next scripture. We got two more. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Who is a God like unto thee that pardon iniquity and pass it by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Where is that scripture from?
Sister Laney.
Who is
Michael 7?
Okay, go ahead.
Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retained it because he delighteth in mercy. Amen.
Amen. You guys are doing wonderful. I'm so proud of y'all. Yay! One more. I'll give you a clue. It's in the New Testament. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The New Testament, that's the last one. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 persons which need no repentance. Where is that? In the New Testament. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Where is that found?
Sister Laney.
I see. Okay.
Luke 15 and 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Amen. I am so proud of you all. Y'all getting excellent doing these scriptures. I appreciate you all so much. All right. Did a great job. All right. It's time for the word, and I need some readers. So I'm going to ask whoever volunteers for the first one, if you could read three scriptures, if you could find three scriptures for me. So write them down. Get your paper pen. Write them down. Who's ready? The first one's Ecclesiastes 26. Who's ready?
I'll take it, Sister Laney.
All right, Sister Laney. So I need you to read the next two as well. So write it down, Ecclesiastes 2:26. The next
2:26.
One, John. Yes. The next one, I need you to read three. The next one is John 14:23. John 14:23.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, Deuteronomy 5:33. Deuteronomy 5:33. All right.
That's Ecclesiastes 2:26. Just want to double check. Ecclesiastes 2:26.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just wanted to check.
John 14:23.
Yes, ma'am.
Deuteronomy 5:33. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Who can take the next three scriptures for me? State your name.
Sister Bella.
Thank you, Sister Bella. All right, I'll give you the next three scriptures here. It's the first one is Ecclesiastes 2:26. The next one is Daniel 2:21. Daniel 2:21. The next one is Luke 21:15.
Okay, Sister G, I thought you gave Sister Laney Ecclesiastes 2:26.
I did, but I need you to read it again as well. Thank you.
Okay, can I? I'll do a different version. I'll do a different version of that. Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Ecclesiastes 2:26, Daniel 2:21, and Luke 2:21:15. All right. So the next one. All right, I have three more. Who can read those?
Sister Marion.
Okay, thank you, Sister Marion. All right, Ecclesiastes 2:26. Before you read that one, let me give you this one, too. This one is James 1:5. Before you read Ecclesiastes 2:26, Sister Marion, read James 1 and verse 5.
Okay.
And then read Ecclesiastes 26. And the last one is John 8:32. All right. Anybody need me to repeat theirs before we... Anybody need me to repeat before we need to... All right, if you could put your phone on mute until I call your scripture, I appreciate you. All right, so today our message title is Promises to the Obedient. Promises to the Obedient. You know, when God talks about obedience, that means do what he say, obey. You know, you tell children, you say, what does it mean to obey? I don't know. They'll say, I don't know. It means do what your parents say. Whatever your teacher, your parents say, do what they say. That's what it means. So obey means to do what you're asked to do. And God asked us to do certain things. You know, the first and second commandment where God said to love him with all of our heart, soul, and strength and to love each other like we love ourselves. So that's the first and the second commandment. And we have to obey those. God doesn't give us anything in vain. Everything he gives us, he intends for us to obey, to do what he said. We can't say, well, Lord, no, my left toe was hurting today, and I just couldn't get to it. I'm going to do it tomorrow. No, we got to do what he says now. Now is the acceptable time. You know, we can't put off. Now, he may tell you next week, I want you to do this, and that's different. You know, he specified the time. But we got to obey. And guess what? there are promises. When he gives us certain promises, he don't just say, listen, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. But he adds to it by giving promises when we obey him. So I thank God, you know, for the word of God. So we have Sister Lanny is going to read for us Ecclesiastes 2:26.
Yes, ma'am. Ecclesiastes 2:26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Lynn. Yes, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to anyone who pleases him. That's awesome. That's a promise. Look what he's going to give us. It's not, you know, always come wrapped up in a box with a pretty red bow. He gives us things that are eternal, things that's going to last, things that we don't see. He gives us wisdom. You be trying to figure out something, how to do it, what to do, when to do it. And God said, I'll give you wisdom to get it done. Just consult me. He gives us knowledge. You know, all of us are ignorant of something. But the knowledge that you need, God is going to give it to you. The know-how. You'll know how to do it. Because this is what he gives you when you obey him. He said, when you obey me, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you the know-how to follow through on the wisdom, and he's going to give us joy. Now, a lot of people think joy is happiness, but no. Joy is different than happiness. Joy is something that God gives us. Happiness is temporary. You may be, you know, you see a child, you give them an ice cream cone, oh, they're so happy. In the next 10 minutes, they may be crying about something else they didn't get or they wanted to do. But joy lasts. I'm going to ask you to put your phones on mute for me because I got some kind of feedback unless I call on you to read. So, but, you know, the person who continues to sin, that's what he's going to do. He said he's going to give the job of gathering and collecting wealth. Now, they're going to be getting money. Yeah. They're going to be getting money. But he said the sinner is going to give the money to us who obey God. Isn't that awesome? That means you don't have to work for it. God is going to give it to you, us who don't even have to work for it. He said, but to the person who continues to sin, he gives the job of gathering and collecting wealth. The sinner must turn his wealth over to the person who pleases God. Now, don't you want to please God? Not just for the money, but we all need money, right? The Bible says money answers all things. Even this is pointless. That's what Solomon said. It's like trying to catch the wind. And, you know, as I said earlier, who could catch the wind? We could catch a cat. We could catch maybe a bunny rabbit if we're fast enough. A turtle, no problem. You can catch a turtle. But who can catch the wind? We cannot do it. We cannot catch the wind. So, you know, the word of God tells us what the benefits are, the promises, when we do what he said. And, you know, your children, you say, well, honey, all you had to do was do what I told you to do. Why didn't you do it? I don't know, Mom. I don't know, Daddy. You know, it's simple to us who given. It's simple to God who's telling us to be obedient. He's not going to give us anything too difficult. It's not a trap. It's not a trap. You know, like you tell, you're looking for, you know, some, you know, the hunter's trap. They're looking for, you know, the rabbits to jump in, the raccoons, or whatever they're trying to catch. And that is a trap. But when God promises something, it's not a trap, something that we can do. He would not tell us to obey, to do what he said if he thought we couldn't do it. That'd be a trap. All right, Sister Lanny, you have John 14:23, if you'll read that.
Yes, ma'am, John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Amen, amen. God promises if anyone loves him and obey him, his teaching, that God will love that person and he will come and make his home with us. He'll come and he will make his home, come to our home and live with us. If we fully obey the Lord our God and carefully follow all his commandments, he will set them high above all the nations of the earth. Now, you know, you've seen children and you ask them to do something and they do it, but they got the wrong attitude. You say, what's the matter? Well, I ain't want to do it. I just did it because you told me to do it. Well, God don't want us to have an attitude. He wants us to do it with joy, what he asked us to do, not with an attitude, oh, Lord, here go God asked me to do something else. Now, what else he need me to do? No, that's the wrong attitude. Do it with joy. Do it because you want to please the Father with a good attitude. He already know our attitude anyway. What the Bible say? He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows what you're thinking before you think it. He knows what you're thinking before you were born. He know all your thoughts. He looks out for us. He loves us so much. Don't you worry. Don't worry. Just be obedient. All right. Sister Lanny, Deuteronomy 5:33.
Deuteronomy 5:33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. I'm sorry, which you shall possess.
Okay. Yes, thank you. All right. So all he's saying is do what I'm asking you to do, I command you to do, and you're going to live, you're going to prosper, and I'm going to give you longer days. I'm going to prolong. Say you got 105 days. Well, he's going to prolong those, I mean years, 105 years. He's going to give you more in the land which you live in. Isn't that awesome? I told you, he has promises to you, us, to obey him. All we got to do is just do what he said. It's that simple. It's not a trick. It's not a trap. Just do what he said. Now, let me tell you something. Wisdom tells us if God put us here, he already knew us before he sent us to earth. He already knew what it's going to take for us to get back to him. So why wouldn't we be wise enough to do what he said? Because we can't get back to him without doing what he said. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to that other place. No, I don't want to live down here in vain, just, you know, trying to catch the wind every day. No, that's in vain. I don't want to try to catch the wind every day. I want to do what God tells me to do, to obey him. Because he's telling us, listen, I got things that I want you to do, and I sent you here for a reason. He said, listen, I know the plans I have for you. They are good plans, to give you a great future and a great hope. Now, those are promises God made to be obedient. Let's do them. Let's don't live down here in vain. So, you know, he has another word that he said to those who didn't obey him when you stand in front of him. Who are you? What's your name? Say, don't you remember God? I cast out demons in your name. I did this. I went and fed the hungry in your name. I passed out, you know, blankets to the cold people who were cold. Lord, don't you remember? I prayed to you 7 hours. He said, well, wait a minute. I don't know you. You didn't do it in my name. Uh-oh. I know we don't want to hear him say that. We want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So we could be living down here doing it in somebody else's name. That's in vain. That's trying to catch the wind. We can't catch it. So we want to do what God said. Now the enemy going to try to twist God's word, so we got to know the word. Of course, that's his job. He's going to try to twist the, you know, he did Adam and Eve like that. He told them. They know God didn't say that. So we got to know the word so we'll know if God said it or not. If we don't know the word, how you going to know if it's being twisted by the devil? You got to know the word. You got to read the word, study the word, and obey the word. God keeps all his promises, all of them. Not only does God promise those things, he promises wisdom as well. He don't just promise us knowledge and joy. He promises us wisdom and knowledge to know how to carry out the wisdom that he gives us. All right, Sister Bella, your time to read. Ecclesiastes 2:26, Sister Bella, thank you. Sabella, you there? We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, 1 second. Go back to that. Okay, God gives, this is the New Living Translation. God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and give it to those who please him. This, too, is meaningless, like chasing the wind.
All right. Thank you so much. Isn't that awesome? God giveth to a man that is good. He giveth insight. He giveth wisdom, knowledge, and joy. My God. You know, sometimes, you know, for your birthday, you don't only just get one gift. You get all three. Thank God that his promises are yeah and amen. He keeps all of them. He's not like us. He said, well, look here. I'm going to buy you, you know, three gifts. And then you get to the person's house. You say, oh, wow, I'm sorry. I couldn't get all three. I just got you one. So, but God's not like that. He's going to do everything he promised. He's human. And we're subject to fall. We're subject to not be able to keep all of our promises. But guess what? Even though you don't keep them to a human being, you best keep them to God. If you make a promise, we got to keep it to the Father. All right, Sister Bella, Daniel 2:21.
Also, this is a New Living Translation. He controls the course of the world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars.
Amen. I love that. Thank you for that translation. He said he could change the time and the season. Isn't he awesome? How do you know any human being can change the time? I mean, you could set your clock different, but you can't really change the time. It's still going to be the same time, right? So even if you live in another continent, it's still going to be the same time. So, you know, we gotta know what God said and know whatever he said, he is going to do it. He's merciful, he's mighty, and he does not change. Nope, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right, Sister Bella, can you read the next one? Luke 21:16.
Okay. It says here, a New Living Translation, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? Uh-uh.
Amen.
Those people who say, no, he can't do it. He can't do it. They can't do it. God said, no, no. He's going to give you the mouth. He's going to give you the tongue, the wisdom to go along with it. And those who oppose you, your adversaries, they're not going to be able to come up against you. They may talk about it, but it's not going to happen. Can y'all hear that feedback on the line?
Sounds like
okay.
A click.
Y'all may not hear. Yeah, it sounds like a click. So if you can put your phones on mute, until I call on you to read that. It helped me a lot because it's like some kind of feedback in the phone. I appreciate it. All right, so the next scripture is in James 1:5. If any person, not some, if any person lack wisdom, let him ask God. They give it to all men liberally. Large amount. He give you large, liberally, freely, freely. And he upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. You know, he's not criticizing us. Promises to the obedient. All we have to do is just obey him. Comply with his command. Do what he asks. You know, you work on a job and they say, listen, I need you to be here at, I know, an hour early. All you got to do is do what they ask you to do or just say, I won't be able to do it. You know, we try to fool God. We say, okay, God, I promise I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 7 times today. And we said, well, God, I did make it 5. I couldn't get to 7. But he's not like that. God keeps his promises. He knows we're human. He's made, you know, he's already taken care of that for us. So you don't have to worry. We make mistakes now. But there are benefits when we do what God says. You know, we being human beings created in his image, we disobey him. Why do we do it? Why do we disobey God? You ask yourself, well, to your children, you say, why didn't you do what I told you to do? Well, mama, Aunt Daddy, I, you know, they come up with these excuses, right? Why do human beings who are created in God's image disobey him? Well, some of the research that I did, it says because of fear. One thing, we fear the unknown. That's one of the reasons we disobey. You know, we don't know what's going to happen if we obey. Fear that. It doesn't make sense to us. I think I told you one time I was in the grocery store and the Lord said, pray with that lady. Now, the lady had, she was dressed immaculate. Oh, she was dressed beautifully. And she looked like she had joy and just so happy. And I said, Lord, she don't need prayer. I tried to tell him, right? He said, go pray with the lady. He didn't let up. I said, Lord, can you look at that lady? She don't need no prayer. Now, I'm trying to look with the human eye, right? He said, I'm trying to figure it out in my mind. I'm leaning to my own understanding, but God says she need prayer. So I said, okay. I finally said, okay, Lord, I'm going to obey you. So I went outside the grocery store, waited for the lady when she walked out. When I tell you, she was dressed a mega, like she just left church. And like the host of angels, that's my thinking, around her. I said, Miss, may I say a prayer for you? She said, oh, my God, I need prayer. Oh, I really need prayer. Now, in my mind, she looked like she needed prayer. I'm trying to go by the human eye, right? All I had to do was obey God, do what he told me to do. Did I understand it? No, because to me, she ain't need it, but I can't follow my own eye. God knew what was going on with her. So I prayed for her, and she thanked me so much. But I thank God that I obeyed him. Yeah, I did have a little fear. Plus, I didn't understand what why you want me to pray for her? She don't need it. The other thing, why do humans created in his image disobey God? Because we get impatient. Like, you know how Abraham and Sarah, they got impatient. They're like, Lord, you know we're getting older. We can't, you know, we so old now. We don't even have sex no more. How we going to have a child? Sarah can't get pregnant. You know, her period didn't stop. They were trying to figure it out, right, instead of just obeying God. But God knows we got to obey him. We just got to do what he said. And when we do what he says, his promises are going to come. And sometimes we listen to other people. You say, well, God told me this. I don't think God would tell you that. One time a lady told me, she said, I don't think God will have you going out there praying by yourself. It says at least two get together and go pray with people. I said, well, okay. So you saying I'm supposed to disobey what God tell me and wait for you or wait for somebody else to come and pray with me? Or if I go to Walmart, God tell me to go to Walmart at 3:00 this afternoon, or 3 o'clock Wednesday or Tuesday. You going with me? Well, I don't know. I said, but he ain't tell me to take nobody with me. He just said what he want me to do. So you can't listen to other people. They said, well, girl, I don't think that's right. Mm-mm. I don't think God would tell you. You can't listen to people. You just got to listen to what God said. Another reason we disobey God, unbelief. We just don't believe him. We're like, Lord, how is that possible? How is that possible, Lord? I just can't understand how that's possible. But we already know we serve the God of impossibility, right? All we got to do is just do what he says. It's not what it looked like. It's not what you think about it. You just got to believe. You know, Abraham is the father of faith because he believed God. Sarah was the one who doubted. You know, you got to believe what God says to you. And sometimes, you know, we one of the reasons sometimes we don't obey him is because we love the company of human beings. You know, we love to be around other people. And we want to do what everybody else is doing. We don't want to look, you know, like peculiar or odd or different. Yeah, you know, you say, ooh, you kind of peculiar. You kind of different. Huh? What's wrong? You don't even fit in. We try to fit in, but we can't fit in because we got the mark of God on us. Don't you know Jesus didn't fit in? Uh-uh. He didn't fit in. They said, look at him. That's Mary's son, but he don't fit in. He couldn't even tell the word in his own city because he didn't fit in. So don't try to fit in. Another reason we disobey God because of covetousness. Envy can lead to a disobedience, especially when you're not content with what you have. You're not content, you say, I got to do it my way this time. God ain't coming through. No, I need more than that. I just got to go. I got to go do what he tell me. I can't do what he told me. He said, I got to wait on him. I've been waiting for 25 years. How much longer do I have to wait? So we don't understand what God's plan is, but we got to do what he said. Sometimes we get angry. We disobey God out of anger, especially, you know, we're not in control, you know, of when we're out of control. We get angry. You know, you get angry. Like Moses, God told him to smoke the rock. What'd he do? he kicked it. God said, God told him just what to do. And he got angry. So it's different than when Jesus got angry. Them people were sinning. He turned over the table in the temple. Not that there is a righteous anger, but I'm talking about that kind of anger where you disobey God. He said, no, be angry, but sin not. And another reason we disobey God is because we desire to hold on to power. The desire to hold on to power has led men to disobey God. It's selfishness is the problem. We like, I got to do it my way, Lord. Your way ain't working. You see how many years I've been waiting, Lord? I've been waiting 10 years and it ain't worked yet. How much longer? No, let me just go do it my way. You do it your way and then that extends and still don't come. Because it extends the time longer. But we messed it up. Another thing is greed. We're like, I got to have it right now. No, Lord, your way ain't working. I want to have quick money. Let me get the quick money. Of course I got food. I got a place to live. But I want all them other things, and I want them right now. I am a microwave generation, God. Don't you know me? Have you ever known me to want to wait for something, Lord? No, I don't want to wait. Let me get it right now. And the last thing I have is selfishness. We disobey because we're selfish. We want, no, I want to do it my way. I got to do it my way. My way work, Lord. Your way don't work. Your way takes too long. You know, the Bible says one day to God is like 1,000 years. Or I may have the scripture wrong, but you know it. So we got to wait on God. We got to be obedient. We got to get rid of, you know, our God gives his children promises when we obey. Daniel 2:21, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removed kings. He setteth up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. 21:15, for I will give you a mouth in wisdom, which all your adversaries shall be able to gain, shall not be able to gainsay. They won't be able to deny or contradict the fact. So you don't worry. God is an overcomer. All right. Sister Marion Williams, you have James 1:5. Would you read that?
Yes. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
Amen. That's what God give it to you, in a, you know, freely. Freely he give it to you. You don't have to worry. He said, you don't know how to get this situation done. You don't know how to take, well, ask me. I got all the answers, he's saying. I got all the answers. And I'm going to give you all the answers freely. I'm not charging you $100 or $500. I'm saying I'm going to give it to you freely. So I thank God because he give it to you freely. Mm-mm. He don't say, okay, $1,000 a minute. Nope. Nope. He said he give it to you freely. All right, Sister Mary, Ecclesiastes 2:26.
For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much. You heard what he said in his word? What he will give to you who obey him. Yep, so don't have to worry. He keeps his promises. Whatever God promised to you, he's going to keep it. He said, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and know me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So he giveth us good gifts, and he doesn't add any sorrow. His promises he keeps. All right, Sister Marion, John 8:32.
John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, who shall make you free.
Amen. Don't you want to be free? Uh-uh. You know what, Adam and Eve, they were so free, but they believed a lie, and they suffered for the, you know, they suffered. One of their sons murdered the other one. They got kicked out the garden. They had everything free. All they had to do was obey God. They had wisdom, knowledge, understanding, joy. They had everything. All they had to do was obey God, but they listened to the other voice that got them kicked out their house, their permanent home, got them kicked out. Then Adam had never worked. All Adam did every day was waited for God. God said, Adam, where are you? Every day he came to look for Adam. Isn't that awesome? Every day. God didn't miss a day. He loved to communicate with his person, Adam, that he created. Every day he talked to Adam. Every day, not some days, every day. So, you know, Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalms 126:5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So God keeps all his promises. We just have to do our part and obey. We got to do our part and obey what God said. Does God be waiting on us to obey? He got eternity now. You know, we don't have eternity down here on the earth. But one day, we are going to live eternally, but we can get to make the choice where we live. Isn't that awesome about God? He gives us a choice. He said, look, I ain't going to twist your arm. I ain't going to arm wrestle with you. I ain't going to throw you down to the ground and make you want to do right. No, no. You got to do it on your own. And I'm going to tell you, when you do right, I got promises for you. Promises to the obedient. You know what he said in his word? He had promises. Isn't that awesome? He could have just said, listen, obey me. Don't worry about what you're going to get. You ain't may not get nothing. No, he promised us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26, for God give it to every man that is good in his sight. You got to be good in his sight now. What is he going to give you when you're good in his sight? Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. He could have said, well, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I know, I'm not going to give you the knowledge on how to get the wisdom, you know, how to put it in place or what to do about it. No. And joy. Wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Now, these are spiritual gifts. I read the spiritual gifts because, you know, when you get spiritual gifts from God, they are better than, you know, you could get a cake from a friend. You're going to eat that. That's gone. You know what I'm saying? You want lasting gifts. So I thank God. He said, now look, this is what the sinner going to have to do. You know those who don't obey me? They got to work. They got to work their fingers to the bone. And then they're not going to be able to keep what they work for. Because they're going to have to give it to you because you're obedient. You please me. Isn't that awesome? God is so good. All right. So now you can unmute your lines. Anybody have comments, questions about the lesson to be obedient? That's what God is looking for, obedient people. All right. State your name. Got a question, comment, anything? All the lines are unmuted. Promises to the obedient. All right. Looks like y'all good. Y'all have nothing to say, nothing to add, nothing to take away.
Sister G, I want to say I appreciate the reason that you gave us why we are not obedient. That's a good check for us. You know, why we are disobedient, fear, unbelief, approval of people. I think I counted about seven of them. And it calls for self-examination to see sometimes when you chose not to obey God, if you were based on somebody else's opinion about what you were doing. And because we want to fit in, we want to have people's approval, and we see so much of that in the world right now, that lie looks like the truth, the truth looks like a lie, because people are manipulating each other because they don't, nobody... Everybody wants their own way and wants to fit in and wants to be the kind of leader to the world that they think the world needs. But it's all selfish. That was really beautiful to me to say I need to analyze my own motives when I make decisions to walk in obedience.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Lanny. I appreciate that. Anybody else? All right. Well, it's homework time. Homework time. Get your homework out. I hope you wrote some notes for your homework on what God was showing you about your scriptures. He'll show it to you. You just got to get in his presence to get it. Got to get in his presence. Got to read it every day and ask him, Lord, what you showing me in these verses? Got one thought about it? But we want to hear what God had to say. Our thoughts are good, but his thoughts are higher than ours, and he could give us what it is. So we have Sister Mary Nichols. She had Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. What did God show you to give to us?
I'm here. Just a second. And just as Sister Lanny said, that your sermon today was really a reminder and an admonition to check ourselves. And So what I got out of Ecclesiastes 2, verse 1 and 2, is just an example of how we think some things for ourselves, and it is not what the Lord wants us to do. And Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1 and 2 in the New International Version said, I said to myself, now see, there's the first thing, come now, I will test you with pleasures to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? So even though the Lord would allow us to seek out pleasures and to enjoy the things that he's provided, we still need to, as he says, that I will test you with pleasure, then we need to question whether or not the pleasures that we experience are really good, and also people who laugh about things that are not necessarily laughable, that it still goes back to answering the question, pleasure, and what does pleasure accomplish? That's what I got.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Sister Mary. All right. The next person, I don't believe. Let's see. Vivian, are you there? Vivian? Okay. I can't hear if she's there. I think it's, okay, Sister Lanny, you have Ecclesiastes,
yes,
2, 5, and 6.
I have 2, 5, and 6. When I looked at the verses that came before it, it's a continuation of what the writer is saying, the projects I undertook. You know, I'm smart enough to do these things. I've done great work. And 5 says, I've made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit and trees in them. In other words, still celebrating the ability to do some things. And then he said, I've made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. He's celebrating his ability to accomplish things. And he's on his way to a conclusion of what all of this means. But right now, he's about what great things he's done with the gardens and parks and the reservoirs. It looks good. You know, these are great projects. People are going to probably celebrate that with him and make him look like a big man in the community. And he knows he's doing some things that others can't do or have not done greater than him. So he's really kind of bragging on what he's done. And it's leading
to a conclusion.
All right,
thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Anything else? I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That's it. It's just, it comes out of verses, particularly out of verse 4, when he talks about all the great things he's done, the great projects, and he just leaves my verse to continue what they were, gardens and parks and reservoirs. He was successful in doing a good job with all of that.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Sister Lanny. Okay, Sister Marion Williams, we have Ecclesiastes 2, 7, and 8.
Yes. In these verses, what I got out of it that you can have everything that you desire. But if you boast about it and take credit on yourself and you don't have God in your life, all those things can be taken away from you, because all those things will be in vain if you don't have God in your life. But all those things, if you be obedient to God and keep God in you and give God the praise and the glory for all the things that you have instead of boasting about it, thinking that you got all this stuff without God. God can take it away from you. You can be up here and not have God, and he'll drop you down low and bring you, that you have to come to him. And all of these things mean nothing if you're not obedient to God and you don't seek wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from God, but thinking that you got all this on your own and you're boasting about it, then it's vanity. All of it can be taken away from you. That's what I got from it.
Amen. That was awesome. I love the way you summarized that. That was very good. All right, we got Sister Gloria Jean, Ecclesiastes 2, 9, and 10.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. Oh, 9 and 10, well,
yes.
This is really talking about Solomon, about, you know, he really enjoyed what he did after, when he went, it's like retirement. When he went, I think it's 40 years he was over Israel. So what happened is that he, when he retired, he, when he's not king anymore, he just did everything he wanted to do. Everything his heart desired, and everything was not good. So that's telling me, you know, he's telling, but he kept the wisdom. But God was not pleased with that. So God is not pleased for us. When we retire, we are not to go and feel like we can do anything we want, all the things I wanted to do when I was tired. I can go out and have all the fun I want. I can do what I want to do. I can drink like I can drink this little alcohol and try it out. I can do all these things now. I'm not into it anymore. So, but, and then the end, it's all that it is going to leave you, and you're not going to be happy. And it's something that God did not want. So we continue to do the right thing even when we retire. Do better when we retire. You have more time when you retire to get in the Word of God, and whatever ministry God has you in, you have a chance to study more. So this is what we want to do. We don't want to go and do what we want to do, go out and have fun. You know, this is what Solomon did, but God doesn't want us to do that. And with Solomon, it was, you know, it was like anything he wanted, he took. He had joy. He even found great pleasures in hard work, but this pleasure was, he said, was reward for his labors. What reward do we want? We got a reward from Jesus to have a good health and strength so we can study the Word of God in whatever ministry. If we are teachers, we can get in learning more so we can have much more to teach us. Well, this is what I got out of it. Thank you.
Amen. That was good. You guys are doing a great job. I really appreciate those comments, things that God showed you are awesome. Thank you. All right, Sister Bella, and then after you, we got Caleb on. Hallelujah. Go ahead.
All right. I have the Ecclesiastics, I think, 11 and 12.
And 12.
Well, yes. What I got is the Ecclesiastes 11 is like summarizing the futility of pleasure. The king was talking about all his pleasures, how pointless and uselessness of his pleasures. He was able to do this because he was the king, but then at the end of he was saying it was meaningless. He says, as I read it here, he said, but I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish. This is it was all so meaningless. It was like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. So he was the king and was able to do whatever he wanted to do, and nobody could, you know, tell him what to do or how to do it. But then he realized, you know, it was worthless. It was useless. It was pointless. Because on, like Sister Laney was sharing that song, only what you do for Christ will last. So he realized he had all this power and he could do whatever he wanted to do. But it was useless. It was pointless. It was just him having authority, and he misused his authority for his own pleasures. So it was like chasing the wind. That's what I got out of that 11th verse. And then get to the verse 12. He says, so I decided to compare wisdom with foolishness and madness, for who can do this better than I, the king? Now, he was, you know, realizing, hey, wisdom, choosing wisdom was better than just living a foolish life, living a meaningless life, a pointless life. And he said, you know, I am the king, so I chose to live wise and not just waste my life pointless, meaningless, like chasing the wind. It's just meaningless. So choosing wisdom was better than, you know, you living a life that was meaningless, pointless. So that's what I got out of it.
Amen. Excellent. Very good. All right. You guys did an awesome job. Now we have Caleb. I don't know if you want to just read or what you wanted to do, Caleb, but go ahead. Ecclesiastes 2, 3, and 4.
Ecclesiastes 2:3-4 says,
I can't hardly hear you. Can you turn your phone up? Caleb, turn your phone up. We can hardly hear you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. One second, sorry.
You hear me now, Sister G?
Hello? Well, yeah, much better. Yes.
Okay, Ecclesiastes, you said chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I decided to cheer myself up with wine while my mind was still thinking wisely. I wanted to find a way to enjoy myself and see what was good for people to do during their few days of life. Then I did get a great thing. I built houses and plant vineyards for myself.
All right. You want to make any comments about it? Just wanted to read it.
I just wanted to read it.
Okay. You did good. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So he said, in his heart, you know, he did everything. Everything people do today, Solomon did it. Not doing the sun. So he did all of those things. Anything he felt he wanted to do, he did it. He ain't used no constraint. He ain't used wisdom. He just did everything. He said, well, he found out that that was foolish, that he did all these things. When you look back in, you know, retrospect and hindsight, you thought, why did I do this? Why did I do that? I shouldn't have did this. All of it is in vain, foolish. So it's like Bella said, trying to chase the wind. Why did I do all those things? He said he did, you know, he built houses. He did. He planted all these vineyards. He probably had grapes and oranges and apples. And, you know, he just had a lot of things, food, collard greens, cabbage. He just did everything. But he said, listen, I'm going to tell y'all, it was all in vain, like trying to chase the wind. He was disobedient to God. He didn't obey God. He was just doing what he wanted to do. He didn't really obey God. Then he realized why God had warned him, because it was not good. He had to suffer consequences. So consequences come when we disobey God. All right, it's prayer time now. We're going to be praying. Anybody need, I'm going to pray for everybody momentarily, but anybody need special prayer, state your name and we'll pray for you.
Sister G?
Uh-huh. Yes?
Can you hear me? This is Isabella. Just play.
Yes?
Pray for me. Pray for me and my daughter a better relationship.
Okay. All right. Okay, anybody else? Okay. So, Sister Bella, can you thank God for our babies, baby Chloe, baby Zora, baby Revere, for excellent health? Thank God that he, you know, kept them thus far. And I talked to baby Chloe's mother the other day. Baby Chloe was just, they were coming back from the doctor. She was just talking back there. She's getting big girl. Now she's going on 3. So we've been praying for her since she was 5 months. And the other two, I don't know how they're doing. I don't really keep up with them. I don't know how. So, but anyway, if you could pray for them and thank God for their lives and the plans he has for them.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for you a good God, you a loving God, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the thoughts you have concerning baby Chloe, baby Zoe, and baby Revere, Lord. We thank you have thoughts of peace and not of evil to give them a hope in the future, Lord. Lord, we thank you that they're growing every day. They're getting stronger, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for their future is bright, Lord. We thank you for the health and strength. Oh, God, we thank you for the health care providers that are taking care of them. We thank you for their parents and everyone that's in their lives, oh, God. We thank you, Lord, for you keeping them, oh, God. And, Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing for them and all children all over the world, Lord, for you love the children all over the world. And so we just thank you for those babies, Lord. We look forward to all the great things that you're going to do in their life, oh, God, and how you're healing them in a miraculous way, oh, God. And we just give you the praise, the honor, and glory, for you are worthy of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, you're an amazing God. There's no God like you. You created families for a reason, Lord. Fathers, mothers, children for a reason. And Lord, many times there's so many misunderstandings in families. So many misunderstandings. Sometimes parents misunderstand their children. Sometimes children misunderstand their parents. But we're lifting up Sister Bella and all of us who have daughters. Because, Lord, there's this strife sometimes that comes between mothers and daughters. When they're little, oh, yeah, they just love to be around their mamas. But as they grow older, they have their own mind. And they go like, no, I don't want to do it the way my mama do it. I want to follow my friends. Now I'm grown. I got my own mind. I could do it my way. So, Father, we rebuke a rebellious spirit that come up in our daughters. And we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to work out every detail between mothers and daughters. You said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long. And so, Father, as they get older, they begin to get their own perspective on life. But as they grew up, we trained them according to your will and your plan. And then they're grown, and they have their own families, and they have their own way of thinking. And so sometimes it doesn't agree with what we think they should do. But, Lord, we lift them up in prayer, and we ask you, Lord, just like Solomon and David and sons and fathers. Sometimes they have conflict between each other, but we rebuke that spirit of conflict, and we decree and declare that mothers and daughters will come to understand one another, and even what they don't understand, they will become acceptance of each other, where each other are, because they're in different places. The maturity level is different. And so, Father, sometimes they don't see eye to eye, daughter. Mothers are telling their grown daughters, well, honey, I think you ought to do this, and I think you ought to do that. But, Lord, I thank you more than telling them that we will begin to bend the knee. Because many of them, Lord God, have their own minds now, and they have their own way of doing things. So I thank you, Lord God, that when we see things that we disagree with about our daughters, that we would pray. Because we tell them over and over and over and over, they keep doing the same thing over and over and over. We can see them, you know, getting into the trap, because we've been in those traps before. And we've been that way before. The way we see them going, we've been that way. And so, Father, we try to warn them, but they don't. They're like, oh, Mom, you're just old-fashioned. Oh, Mom, that ain't how we're supposed to go. No, we're going to do it this way. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Like King Lemuel's mother told him, this is not for princes or princesses. You are king's children. She taught him. And so, Father, sometimes we can't tell our children. Sometimes we got to just pray for them with another mother who has a daughter. They understand because, Lord, seem like this happens in a lot of families, mother-daughter conflict. But, Lord, I thank you that we will let go and let you. And so, Father, we thank you that we could come to you with every care, cast out every care of the Marian, Lord God, her children, her grandchildren, and all the grandchildren on the line. And we thank you for protection, guidance, direction. We thank you, Lord God, for Sister Marion's health and strength. And we thank you for our mutual friend that we have, Sister Annette Daniel, Lord. We thank you for her healing. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in Sister Annette and in her husband. We thank you for Sister Annette regaining her health and her strength and her husband as well. And so, Father, we thank you for all that you're doing on their behalf. We thank you for Sister Marion, oh God, who's praying for them daily. We thank you for the prayers that she prays. We thank you for keeping Sister Marion's knees, removing that pain from her knees and even the lower back in the name of Jesus. We thank you for Sister Mary Nichols and her daughters. And that we thank you for her husband and blessing the family. We thank you for all that you have her to do as a health coach, oh God. May she continually learn and grow and share wisdom with us, oh God. I thank you for Sister Lanny, Lord God, the musician that you call forth even as a child. You said, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. They are great. And so, Father, you said, even in our old age, you would never leave us nor forsake us. And you would bless us with long life when you satisfy us. So I thank you for Sister Lanny's long life. Thank you for Sister Bella, Sister Marion's long life, Sister Mary Nichols' long life, for Caleb's long life, for Sister Glory Dean's long life. I thank you for long life for myself as well. Long life will you satisfy us. And Lord, help us to obey you all things. We praise you. We honor you. We give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving for what you're doing in all of us, Lord. We bless you today. We give you glory. We thank you for every family on here today, Sister Bella, Sister Mary Nichols, Sister Lanny, Sister Kayla, Sister Glory Dean. We all the plans that you have for us, they are great plans. We thank you for the promise of knowledge, wisdom, and joy. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are blessing us every day. Forgive us, Lord, when we try to follow our own mind. Help us not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you. And so, Lord, when we don't understand someone or we're trying to tell them the right way and they don't want to listen, we bring it to you because, Lord, many of us were the same way. We didn't want to listen when someone was trying to tell us. And then we got old and we go like, oh, my God, now I understand what they were telling me. So, Father, help us to know, to understand, and receive wisdom, knowledge, and joy that you give to us because we're obedient. We bless and honor you. We thank you that you are the King of Kings, the Almighty Father, the Lord of Lords. We bless your name. We honor you. You are the King of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody have anything they want to say or add or anything before we leave off? We're closing out.
Very good lesson. I enjoyed the lesson. Thank you, Sister Jean.
Thank you for being on and participating. Amen. Anybody else?
Yes. Amen. I'm just continuing to pray for the unrest in our government situation. People we elected to serve in Washington, there's great confusion there. Just continue to, and same thing for churches, pastors, that they can get their orders from the Lord and execute.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, we thank the Father every day. He said, make your request known unto me. So I'm going to say this prayer that I have. It's a prayer for world leaders. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray that our world leaders, oh God, we pray for our world leaders that your spirit will rest upon our world leaders. We believe that skillful and God's wisdom has entered into their hearts of our leaders and that they will do your will. Heavenly Father, that they will have hearts and ears attentive to your godly counsel. Lord, Lord, make them men and women of your integrity, that they may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Pray that the wicked world leaders shall be cut off and rooted out. Heavenly Father, you are our refuge and stronghold in times of trouble. So we declare that with our mouths that your people will dwell in safety in this land and that they will prosper abundantly. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We give you thanks unto you, O Lord, for the good news of the gospel that is published in our land. The word of the Lord prevails and grows mightily in the hearts and lives of the people. We give you thanks for this land and the leaders, and the leaders all over the world. You have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Amen.
Look forward to talking to you soon. Have a week. God love you. So do I. Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Love you.
Amen.
Love you too.
Love you all.
Love you too.
Everybody.